Our scripture reading this morning will be from Acts 3. This morning, John read verses 22 through 26. Those will be that is the passage for the sermon, but I'm going to read into that from verse 17. So if you have your Bibles, please open them to Acts 3, and we'll begin in verse 17. "And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. And Moses said, the Lord your God, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaim these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your father, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness." Would you please stand and join me in prayer? Lord, you are a holy God and you are our God. You are the God who works wonders, and we call you Father. And Lord, we know that when we call out to you, you will hear us. In times of trouble and in times of sorrow, we will seek you. Lord, sometimes in the night we pray and we still can't be comforted. Lord, I pray that we would remember you in the middle of the night and remember to meditate on you and remember to search you out. Because sometimes it seems, Lord, that you have abandoned us, that you have turned aside from us, that your love has ceased. But we know that you have not forgotten to be gracious to us, and you are a compassionate God, merciful. So we appeal to you, the Most High God. We'll remember the things that you have done. We'll remember all of your work, and we'll think about those things and meditate on those things, because we know, Lord, that your way is right and your way is holy. You are the God who works wonders. You have redeemed us like you have redeemed your people, Israel. And Lord, we pray now that as we come before you, you would speak to us through your word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. A Okay, the message today is from the end of a sermon that Peter preached in the temple courtyard after he had healed a lame man. The sermon is found in Acts chapter 3, verses 11 through 26. So we're starting partway through with our scripture reading. But this is really an exceptionally encouraging presentation of the gospel. There's no doubt that the pinnacle of Peter's speech was found in Acts 3, 19 through 21. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all things. So the reason these verses are so encouraging is because of who Peter was speaking to. He was speaking to the people who had handed Jesus over to be crucified. They had given him to Pilate. In the sermon, Peter says this, "You killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead." And just moments later, he tells them, "Repent therefore and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things." To those who killed the author of life, Peter promises times of refreshing for those who will repent. And if those people can be forgiven, that means I can, and that means you can be forgiven. So the last time I preached on Sunday morning, the sermon included the first part of this message, the first part of Peter's message, and right up to these pivotal verses. Today we're going to look at the sermon from a different direction. We're going to look at it at the last part of the sermon. We're going to focus on that, but we're not going to forget what has come before it. So our scripture reading today picked up on the story shortly after Peter had told them, "You killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead." Acts 3:17, "And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your ruler." So you're ignorant of something if you didn't know about it. R.C. Sproul, in his commentary on Acts, pointed out that there are two kinds of ignorance. There's the kind of ignorance that you don't know, but you couldn't have known. And then there's the kind of ignorance that you don't know, but you should have known. Peter's referring to that second kind of ignorance here. Peter says to his fellow Jews, "And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But you should have known. You should have known because what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled." You should have known because all the prophets told you. And the Jewish people had the prophets. They had the scriptures. Jewish scholars search the scriptures. They should have known what was foretold by the mouth of the prophets, that Christ would suffer. And he has fulfilled that. How could you not have known? The prophets, all the prophets told you. Later, Peter says in his message, all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaim these days. You have the words of the prophets. You should have listened to them. You should have known. So each day, an organization called Voice of the Martyrs asks us to pray for a country where persons are persecuted. Christians are persecuted for their faith. And last Sunday, it was North Korea. Christians in North Korea are severely persecuted for their faith. It is illegal for them to own a Bible. They can be imprisoned for owning a Bible. They might even be killed for owning a Bible in North Korea. Most North Koreans don't have a Bible. They have the kind of ignorance where they couldn't have known what the prophets said. They didn't have the prophets. We, on the other hand, have them. We have the prophets. We have the scriptures. As John mentioned this morning, we have multiple copies of the scriptures. So this past week, I decided I would just check out and look around and see how many copies of the Bible I have. So I looked here in my study, and I looked at home. I usually carry a Bible in my car. And so the number came up to 19. 19 copies. And that doesn't mention the one that John mentioned, the ones that I have on my phone, or the ones that I have on my computers. Suffice it to say that I have the scriptures, and I'm pretty sure that you do too. We have the prophets. We have the scriptures, and if we don't know what God had said to us, we're acting in the kind of ignorance that we should have known. But Peter says there's hope for us, and there's hope for the Jews who handed over their Messiah to be killed. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time of restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. The restoration of all the things that were told by God's holy prophets. He spoke through them long ago. So the epithet prophet has a variety of meaning in scriptures. I'm just going to touch on two of them. One is it can mean anything just simply like this, somebody who speaks from an outside influence. It can also mean someone who speaks for God. And when Peter used the term prophet here, all the prophets, holy prophets, he was talking about the ones that spoke for God, the ones who we can read about in Scripture. And it's an amazing thing, isn't it? We have those words from 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, longer ago than that. We know about Jesus because long ago, in many ways and at many times, God spoke to us through the prophets. And in these last days, he's spoken to us through his Son. So I'm sure you've noticed that Peter talked a lot about the prophets in this sermon, in this message that he gave, in the gospel message. He said, for example, what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets. A little later, which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. A little later, all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaimed these days. But there's one Old Testament prophet who stands above the rest, stands apart from the rest. He's different from the others. Moses. Acts 3:22. Moses said, "The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you." So what does it mean that God would raise up, and that God actually did raise up a prophet like Moses? What was Moses like? Why does he stand apart from the rest of the prophets in the Old Testament? Well, there are a lot of different ways we could answer that. I'm going to touch on a few of those. For example, Moses was called the lawgiver, because the Ten Commandments and the Torah, the Pentateuch, came through him, were given through Moses. We sometimes even call those books the Law of Moses. They're really God's law. But when Peter says, "The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me," he's quoting from Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is a series of messages that Moses gave the people of Israel before they were to enter the promised land. Moses had led them in the wilderness for 40 years. He had been their leader, their shepherd. He was God's prophet, but he wouldn't be going with them. He would die before they would enter the promised land, and the people had depended on him to tell them the words of God. Moses knew that in his absence there was a void, or there would be a void. And so he told the people, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is him you shall listen to." So that's the quote from Deuteronomy, almost matches the one from Acts. So what does it mean? "And the Lord your God will raise up a prophet like me." Well, what Moses had immediately in mind, he told us in the next verse. He told us that the Lord your God will raise up a prophet like me, and then he said this, "Just as you desired from the Lord," or of the Lord, "your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, 'Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God or see this great fire anymore, lest I die.'" So the people had just heard the Ten Commandments. That's what Moses was referring to. God spoke the Ten Commandments to the people out loud in his own voice at Mount Horeb or Mount Sinai. They were terrified. They were what we like to call scared to death. Here's Moses' account from earlier in Deuteronomy of what the people said. "Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us if we hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore. We shall die. For who is there of all flesh that has heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of a fire as we have and lived? Go near and hear all that the Lord your God will say, and speak to us all that the Lord our God will speak to you, and we will hear and do it." So the people were basically saying to Moses, "We can't take this. You go speak to God. Come back and tell us what he says. And whatever he says, we'll listen. And we will do it. Just don't let us hear his voice again. So Moses was a go-between, a mediator between God and the people. He spoke God's word to them, and they promised to do them. Another thing is that Moses' closeness to God was unique among the Old Testament prophets. In Exodus, it says, the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. And God had revealed himself to Moses differently than he revealed himself to the other prophets. He told them his name and the meaning of his name at the burning of the bush. He told them a great deal about his character at the cleft of the rock. Many of the prophets did miraculous things, but God granted Moses the power to perform great and terrifying signs and wonders in Egypt. There are many other ways that Moses is unique among the Old Testament prophets, and we don't have time to cover them all. But whoever wrote the final words in the book of Deuteronomy wrote this: and there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him for all the signs and the wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land. For all the almighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of Israel. God had told Moses, I will raise up a prophet like you. And at the end of Deuteronomy, someone notes, that hasn't happened. There hasn't been a prophet like that. Nobody has spoken face to face with God. Nobody has been able to do the signs that Moses did. Nobody. And so people began to understand. The Jewish people began to understand that as time went on and no prophet like Moses came, he was referring to the Messiah, or maybe the prophet that comes along with the Messiah, the Christ. At the time Jesus came into the world, the Jews were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for the prophet. They were looking for the prophet like Moses. They were looking for someone whom the Lord spoke to face, someone who could do the signs that Moses did, the wonders that Moses did. And at the feeding of the 5,000, the people said this: this indeed is the prophet who has come into the world. The prophet. They were looking for the prophet. They were expecting the prophet. So back to our text in Acts. As Peter was preaching the gospel to the people at the temple, he had clearly laid out that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah. And so when he added, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers, they knew that Peter was referring to Jesus. Jesus is the prophet like Moses. Jesus is the one who speaks with God face to face. Jesus is the one who did the great signs and did the wonders when he was among them. He was the go-between between God and men. The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. That's John 1:17. And as the author of the Hebrews later makes clear, Jesus is much greater than Moses. Now Moses was faithful in all God's household as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. So you shall listen to the prophet. And Moses said, The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. So when you hear the words, you shall listen to him, what do you think of? Well, if you're thinking of Scripture, you might think of this from Matthew 17. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and he led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it's good that we're here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise and have no fear. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Back to Acts 3. The people at the temple had acted in ignorance because though they had the prophets, they didn't listen to them. They should have known, but they didn't know. And they should have known what they were doing when they killed Jesus, but they didn't know. The Jews had prided themselves in following Moses. But Jesus had told them over and over again they were missing the point. They were wasting their time straining out gnats and swallowing camels and not getting that Moses was talking about Jesus. They had failed to listen to the prophets. They had failed to listen to Moses. And now they had failed to listen to the prophet who was like Moses, the prophet that God had raised up. And now that God had raised him from the dead, Peter didn't want them to repeat the mistake. He didn't want them to repeat the mistake by what? By not listening to him. It would be worse if they failed to listen now, now that they were no longer ignorant. The author of Hebrews would later write, Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by the angels, that's the one they're talking about being declared through Moses, too, proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? The author of Hebrews was writing to Christians. He was writing to us. And so I should ask myself, and you should ask myself, am I paying much closer attention to the things that I've heard? Am I paying attention to Jesus' words? Am I listening to Jesus? Because anyone who does not listen to the prophet will be destroyed. That is a harsh statement, and it sounds way too judgmental to our ears. But anyone who does not listen to the prophet will be destroyed is almost a direct quote from Acts 3:23. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. So those are the words of Peter when he's preaching the good news, when he's preaching the gospel at the temple. Peter's preaching a gospel that includes repentance, forgiveness, refreshing from the Lord, the restoration of all the things that the prophet said. He was preaching about Jesus, but how can that be? How can Peter say something like that? Well, Peter can do that because Peter knows Jesus, and Peter knows the scriptures, and he knows the things that they say. And the scriptures say, back in Deuteronomy, and whoever will not listen to my words, that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. God will require it if anyone does not listen to the prophet. So is Peter saying then, repent and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out? And then in addition to that, you must listen to the prophet, or you'll be destroyed. Is that what he is saying? No, that's not what he's saying. What he's saying is this: repent, therefore, and turn back. And turning back means something. It means turning back, repenting from not listening to the prophet and listening to him. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things. So Jesus spoke words of life. Jesus spoke words of eternal life. Jesus spoke words of truth, and he also spoke words of judgment. And we might think this, well, but didn't Jesus say, I didn't come into the world to judge the world, but to save the world? Well, yes, he said that. That's what he said. Here's what he said. John 12:47-48. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. And he went on to say, the one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. And so we should ask ourselves, am I hearing Jesus' words? Am I keeping Jesus' words? Third, God raised up the prophet to bless you. That's why Jesus came, to bless you. Acts 3:25, you are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Peter preached that message to the Jews who were in the temple courtyard. When he says, you are sons of the prophet, what he means is that they're heirs of the prophets, in the sense that they have the message of the prophets. They have inherited it. They've inherited it in the same way that they have inherited the covenant that God made with Abraham. And in that covenant, God promised that by his offspring, all the families of the earth would be blessed. Jesus is that offspring. He is the prophet. Next verse. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. God raised up his prophet. God raised up his servant, the prophet like Moses. So the whole world would be blessed. And the blessing begins with the sons of Abraham, the sons of Israel, with the Jewish people. God sent Jesus to the Jews first. But he also sent him to us. So when you think of God's blessing, what do you think of? Family, health, material things, eternal life. All of those things are blessings from the Lord. They all come from him. But notice what the blessing is here. Jesus was sent to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. So have you ever thought of repentance as a blessing? I'm sure that when Peter says this, he's thinking of things that come along with the blessing, but just notice the way that he says it. To bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. What a blessing in itself repentance is. What a blessing it is, turning away from wickedness, turning away from the things that would drive us into darkness, freeing us from those things. And if Jesus could bless the people in the temple that way, turning them away from their wickedness, the wickedness that drove them to kill him. Think about that. Jesus is the one turning them away from killing him. If he can do that, he can bless you and me from our wickedness, whatever that happens to be. He can turn us away from that. Jesus can do that. Repentance is a blessing. Repentance brings hope. Repentance brings times of refreshing from the Lord. Come through Jesus. Listen to him. Listen to Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word to us from Acts, Peter's words that you have recorded, telling us the good news of Jesus Christ, that he has come to bring us blessing, to bring us repentance, and all the things that go along with that. Lord, I pray that you would be with us today in this, in our church, that we would all experience that blessing. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.